Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not taking thee, Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken to the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. If you ever run in with a Jehovah's Witness, you can give him that verse there. Jesus is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now we all know, especially these kids here, know Christmas is coming up. Believe it or not, it's only 4 Sundays between now and Christmas. That's hard to believe. It's kind of scary, to be honest with you. Hard to believe 2020 has seemed like the longest year, and it's also seemed like a very quick year, and it's going by quickly, but the days have taken a long time to get through. But I feel like we missed a lot this year, and we have missed a lot this year. Made it go by fast. But whether you're ready for Christmas or not, it is coming. So to prepare us for that, and I was not prepared for that, but to prepare us for that, I'm trying to get us in the right mind. I don't mean the Christmas spirit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being the right mind spiritually. I said the same thing about Thanksgiving. It's not a biblical holiday, but it is a good holiday to celebrate. It was not started to celebrate Jesus. There's many different history of Christmas and different things. And anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. St. Nicholas. And anyway, it's not even the right time of the year. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the shepherds wouldn't be out in the fields with their sheep in the dead of winter. So Christmas is the right time of year for Jesus' birth, but that's another story as well. It's a widely recognized holiday as a celebration of Jesus' birth. Many try to remove the name, but it's still there, still Christmas, still recognize it as Christmas, Christmas. The world has taken and tried to turn it into a marketing scheme, and they've done a pretty good job of that too. But it's still, even though all these different things are going on, different history and different things you can look at for Christmas and where it came from, and different beliefs you can believe, things you can believe, it's still an opportunity to talk to people about Jesus that would not normally want anything to do with talking about Jesus Christ. People come to church at Christmas time and see Christmas plays and things like that that they would never darken the doorstep of any other day of the year. So we have an opportunity. So it would be dumb of the church to ignore the opportunity. We need to take advantage of it. We have an opportunity to be dumb for us to ignore it. So leading up to Christmas, the Lord has burdened me to preach on a few of the characters of Christmas. We obviously always hear about Luke 2 and the story of his birth. Read that. Some of us have grown up our entire life reading that and hearing that, especially on Christmas Day. But what about the main characters of this Christmas story? What about them? Do we really know who is involved in the story? Everybody has a history, has a background. We may not know a whole lot about their history, but there's a few things we can find in the scriptures. What about those that are involved in the story of Jesus' birth? Why were they there? Why were they involved? Maybe it'll give us some insight on why God would use them, and maybe God could use us. Not for the same thing. We don't need another Jesus, but God could use us for his work. The Bible doesn't tell us a great deal about all of these people, but there's definitely some lessons for us to learn. So if the Lord allows, for the next 4 Sunday mornings, if he allows me to, I'm going to preach on the characters of Christmas. I don't know for sure which order they'll be in. We have many characters we could preach about. We have Joseph, we have Mary, we have Jesus, of course, we have the shepherds, and in a couple more years, we have the innkeeper, and then even a couple years later, we have the wise men as well coming along. We'll see how the Lord leads us. We have 4 weeks, and we'll see what the Lord tells us to preach on. But today, I want to preach on this first character of Christmas, at least first in this series, and that is Joseph. Joseph, we don't normally hear a lot about Joseph. He's just there. Joseph, there's a lot of history we can hear, we can learn about, a lot of lessons we can learn from Joseph. Joseph is a man, obviously, he was a man that was recognized as a foster father of Jesus Christ. He was the earthly father figure for the home that Jesus was going to be born into. He was not the father of Jesus. Jesus is the only begotten of God. But Joseph was the man that God chose to use to raise his son on earth. God chose Joseph to raise on earth the Son of God. God looked down on earth and decided to place Jesus in the home, in the family of Joseph and Mary. Pretty significant. What a calling to have. What a responsibility to have. What a scary position to be put in, quite honestly. Can you imagine being the God of heaven entrusting you to raise his son? Now we know Jesus probably does not need very much raising, doesn't sin, but imagine being that, having that opportunity. It scares me sometimes thinking about raising my kids, and I can tell you right now, they're not perfect, far from it. But Joseph was a man God chose to raise his perfect son. Joseph didn't pick it. Joseph didn't put his resume in with an application and wait for an angel to show up. God chose him. He chose Joseph for this task. So let's look, it's pretty significant. We ought to understand why. I look at that. If God chose this man, what can we learn from this man? So let's look at this life of this man, Joseph, and see what we might can learn from him. What kind of man was Joseph? What kind of lessons can we learn from the man Joseph? Number one, Joseph was a man defined. He was defined by his nativity. You can look at the first 17 verses of this Matthew 1 I just read out of. The first 17 verses there, and you'll see it end up with Joseph, and you see a long lineage ending with verse 16 with Joseph, the husband of Mary, and then Jesus comes along. Joseph was not part of just any family. Joseph was part of the seed of David, a family of the tribe of Judah. You can look at this lineage and compare it to the lineage you find in Luke chapter 3, and you see a few discrepancies people call them. The reason for that is, men a lot smarter than me, anyway, I've studied these genealogies out and believe that Matthew 1 is the family of Joseph. Luke 3 being the genealogy of the family of Mary. Mary's father was first of the first tribe of Judah. We see that in her genealogy. She's a tribe of Judah as well. But she was also cousins to Elizabeth. You look at Elizabeth, she's part of the tribe of Levi. How can Mary be part of the tribe of Judah and cousins to Elizabeth, tribe of Levi? Apparently Mary's mother must have been part of the tribe of Levi. Her father was of Judah, we know according to Luke chapter 3. There's something interesting there. Jesus was very close to possessing the bloodline of the high priest. He didn't need it. He's Jesus Christ. There's something interesting there to think about. Joseph was of the bloodline of David as well. Mary and Joseph both coming down the same bloodline. The line of the tribe of Judah, talked about in Revelation, is Jesus Christ. It comes from that tribe of Judah by Joseph, his earthly father, as well as Mary, his biological mother. It comes from Joseph as well. He was raised in a home of the tribe of Judah. Joseph was a man defined by his nativity. He had a rich lineage. It wasn't just part of any family. It's part of the line of Judah. He was defined by his name. The name Joseph is a powerful name. Look back at the old Joseph in the Old Testament. When Rachel gave birth to Joseph, here's what she said, Genesis 30:24. And she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." It was a promise of more to come, promise of Benjamin to come later on. Now, Joseph is the foster father of another son of Jesus Christ. Kind of interesting here, you look at the lineage of Joseph here in Matthew chapter 6, 1, chapter 6, verse number 16. Excuse me. Joseph's father, name was Jacob as well. Just like Joseph in the Old Testament, father's name was Jacob. Something interesting there. Joseph was named an honorable Jewish name. The name carried with it honor, it came with it history. Joseph comes from a good family. He had a good lineage, good name. He's defined by his name. He's defined by his nature. Look at verse number 19, the verse I read earlier. Joseph was a just man. That word just means equitable, innocent, holy, meet. It means to be righteous. It means Joseph was a good man, a righteous man. He had the right kind of character. As we'll see later on, he would display more of that character later on. God chose a man that has the right character. He has the right nature about him. It wasn't just anybody. It wasn't just a nobody in the streets. This was Joseph. He was a just man. He's not a shady. He's not a liar. He's not a thief. He's an honest. He's a just man before Jesus ever came along. That's what the Bible calls him. Quite an honor the Bible gives him there. Christian, would God be able to call you, honestly, call you just? Would he be able to call you a just man? How's your character? How's your Christian walk? How's character matters as well. You know that, don't you? Some say, well, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. It's not the right attitude. You ought to care. Added testimony means something in the community. You ought to care what other people think about you. You ought not affect the way you walk with the Lord, but your testimony, you ought to care about your testimony. How's your character? Joseph was known as a just man. Had a good character. Had a good testimony. He was man defined. He was a man of duty. We see his career. I promise I am getting somewhere. There's a lot of stuff here. We see his career. Matthew 13:55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Jesus was called the carpenter's son. Joseph was a carpenter. Joseph had a job. He had a job. Imagine that. Men get out and get a job. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. But even you young men, don't be afraid of work. Don't be afraid of hard work. Don't be afraid of getting your hands dirty. Every time God calls a man in the Bible to a task, he never calls a lazy man. He never calls a man sitting on the couch. He calls a man that's out working. The men are always working. Elisha was plowing the field with his oxen. David was tending his sheep. Boaz running a farm, running his fields, leading his servants. You could go on. Joseph had a trade. Joseph had a job. Joseph was not dependent on somebody else to take care of him. He didn't let the system care for him and his family. He got out and he worked and he provided for his family. By everything we can find in the scriptures, they were no rich family. They may have lived hand to mouth possibly, but that was Joseph's hand to their mouth. He provided for his family. He worked. He had a duty. He had a career. Men, you have a duty to provide for your family, both spiritually and physically. Don't ever neglect the spiritual for the physical, but don't forget about the physical. By the sweat of the brow, God told Adam. Young ladies, I don't have any young ladies in here. have my kids, but yeah, y'all don't think about that yet. Anyway, maybe some young ladies listening. You young men, listen in. If young ladies looking for a man to marry, don't look for a lazy man. Look for a man that's willing to work. Look for men. You be a man that's willing to work. You be a husband that's willing to work. For one, you need to provide for your family, and two, God never calls a lazy man. You want God to use you? Learn to work. You want to provide for your family? Learn to work. Work with your back. Work with your arms, not just your thumbs. Learn to work. And that's not popular either. I know. I'm making some enemies there in the middle row there. I know. I used to like video games too. I understand. Learn to work. Joseph had a job, and God used him. We see his career. We see his citizenship. Luke chapter 2. Go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 2. Hold your place here in Matthew. We're going to go back and forth a couple times. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. We see he had a duty, he has a career, he had a job. We see his citizenship. Luke 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Joseph had the duty of citizenship. He had to pay taxes. Notice what he did. He got up, he got his espoused wife, and they took off down to Bethlehem for his tax. And what happened while they were down there? God fulfilled a prophecy. Out of thee, Bethlehem Ephrathah, Micah says, prophesied in the Old Testament, Jesus would be born there where he's paying his taxes. Joseph didn't let his duty of citizenship get in the way of doing the work of God. He did both. Yes, Joseph had to pay the tax. Yes, they had trouble in government at that time. Jewish laws and Roman laws and getting those two together. And all this trouble in the government, now they have a tax to pay, a census to take. Joseph, still with the same nature, still with the same character, goes, takes care of his citizenship duty while completing his spiritual duty. Today we have a struggle brewing between spiritual and patriotic duty in our country. Don't let your spiritual slip while you're mad and concerned for the other. Joseph was able to pay his taxes, able to complete his duty there as a citizen, but also serve the Lord at the same time. Joseph did not shrug his duties, he carried them out. You got to pay your taxes whether you want to or not. Now, Kevin's not, I don't know if he's listening back there or not. Close your ears. I don't like paying taxes either. I hate going to the accountant. I don't like it. I like Kevin, but I don't like doing taxes. Even he heard it. Even Joseph paid his taxes. We see his Christianity. We see his career, his citizenship. We see his Christianity. Now, I know they're not called Christians at this point, but for the sake of alliteration, bear with me for a minute. Christianity, Luke 2, 22. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It is, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Joseph apparently was a Christian man. You want to call him Christian? I know it's not Christian. They weren't called Christians at this point. He was a Jew. He was following the law of the Jews. They're in a strange place. They were not in their home country. They were out of town paying taxes in Bethlehem. This son doesn't technically belong to Joseph, but on the eighth day, Joseph says, I'm going to get him to the temple to fulfill the law of Moses, the law that he was part of, the Jewish law. Jesus came to do away with the law, but at this time, they're still under that law. And Joseph makes sure they're following the Jewish law, the law of Moses to a T. He has a spiritual duty to his family. He's going to make sure that duty is carried forth. And father, husband, Christian, whoever you are, don't forget your spiritual duty. Yes, you should work. Joseph had a career. And yes, he was a citizen. You should be patriotic. He was a Christian first. He followed the law of the Lord first. He was followed the letter of the law of God. He was going to make sure his new family was right before God, especially when that son was the Son of God. Men, we have a duty. Ladies, you have a duty as well. Don't shrug your spiritual duty. We see his Christianity. We see his conversation with God. Back to Matthew 1. I hope you still hold your place there. Matthew 1, verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, I shall call his name Jesus. She says, for he shall save his people from their sins. While he thought on these things, this angel of the Lord is often the picture of the theophany of Christ, in Christ on earth talking with man. Oftentimes when it says angel of the Lord, that's what it's referring to. It says, and the angel Lord comes down and is talking to Joseph in a dream. Joseph is at home. He's contemplating all these things going on, and now he's talking to God. God had come down and talked to him. Angel Lord appeared unto him, not a crowd, just to Joseph. What is that? God saw the inward struggle Joseph was having. He saw his thoughts. He saw it, and God heard it, and came down and gave him an answer. Joseph was thinking on these things, it says. And God, he said, didn't say anything out loud. He says he was thinking on these things, and God said his angel to come and answer the question for him. What happened? God heard his thoughts. God was listening. Because in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Solomon says, if there is any iniquity in my heart, the Lord is not going to hear. So that tells me that Joseph did not have any iniquity in his heart because God heard. Joseph is in a perfect, as far as I can tell, spiritually in fellowship with God. We talked about that over in 1 John a few Sundays ago. God hears him. He sees his struggle. He appears to him in a dream and talks to him. Sends an angel to talk to the angel Lord to talk to him. How's your relationship with the Lord? We don't have these theophanies anymore. We don't have the word. We don't have them because we have the word of God. We don't need an angel to come down and tell us because the word of God tells us right here if we just read it. We have an intercessor between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We can talk straight to the throne of God. How's your relationship? How's your conversation with him? Joseph was apparently pretty good. The Lord was listening to what Joseph was thinking. How about you? Does he listen to your prayers? Now we have an intercessor. He's listening to your prayers. We have a duty. He had a duty of being a man loyal and faithful to God. We see him conversing, if you will, with God. No iniquity in his heart. God was listening to him. He heard him. He was personally right before God. Joseph was a man of duty. You see his career, his citizenship, his Christianity, and his conversation with God. Not only a man of duty, but a man with a dilemma. Number one, he has a family dilemma. Look at Joseph's lineage. I'm not going to read all through it now, but you can read it later on. You see men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah, of course, and David and Solomon. Look at the fortune that David gave to the building of Solomon's temple. I've read it as somewhere between around $100 million given by David of his own spoils of war to build Solomon's temple. Great riches and honor. Look at Solomon, one of the richest kings there was, if not the richest. Look at the family of tree, not only wealthy, but just great men of God that have conquered great enemies for God. And look at Joseph. Who is Joseph? He's no king. He's no wealthy man by any means that we can find out. He's just a carpenter. Yeah, he's a hard worker. You have to be in that to be a carpenter. No power tools, no chainsaws and sawmills and table saws. He's a hard worker. He's a man with calluses on his hands. He's no great king of war. He's just a carpenter from Nazareth. He has a family dilemma. He can look at all his great men that come before him in his family and the great accomplishments his family has done and look at himself and say, who am I to do anything for God? Who am I? What have I done? I'm just a carpenter. You see his family dilemma. He just doesn't add up in the world's standards to the rest of his family. He's just a nobody. Family dilemma, we see a financial dilemma. We don't have any real evidence of the wealth or the lack of wealth for Joseph and Mary. We see the two turtle doves in the temple there in Luke chapter 2. It doesn't mean they're broke. It could be because they traveled so far and couldn't bring a lamb. I don't think Joseph was a wealthy man by any means. We don't think he lived in poverty either. He had enough about him to be able to travel to Bethlehem, enough about him to at least attempt to pay for a room, enough about him to have to pay taxes. Nobody's wealthy after paying taxes. He's definitely no King David. He's got to look around himself and say, and where did I miss it? Where did my family go? He's different than pretty much everybody else in his lineage. He's serving God. He's following the law. He's honest. He's just. But as far as we know, he's barely making it. You ever been there before? You ever thought that before? Lord, I've done doing everything I can. I'm doing right. I'm in my eyes anyway. I'm doing everything right. I'm trying to be honest. I'm trying to be just. I'm trying to be pure. And I just can't get anywhere with this. I'm just a carpenter. And I just can't do anything. Can't get anywhere. He hasn't done any great things. He hasn't gone any great places. He hasn't conquered any major enemies. He's just building with wood. He's just working, making a meager living, and paying taxes. Does that sound familiar or what? In the world's eyes, he's a nobody. You ever been there before? I have. In God's eyes, he's about to be the earthly father of the Son of God. Just because you're nobody in the world's eyes doesn't change what you are in God's eyes. God used him. Nobody to his family. Nobody in the world's eyes. Nobody by any financial means. Nobody by any military means. God said, I want to use him. We see his family problem. We see his financial problem. We see his fiancé problem, his dilemma. Luke chapter 1 again. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, you can read about the angel of Gabriel Gabriel appearing to Mary to inform her of what was to happen. Mary hears it, and she asks how it's going to happen, and she believes it, and the angel leaves. So you can read all that in the beginning of chapter 1. Verse 38, it says this of Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And so Mary says, "Okay, whatever you say, Gabriel, whatever you say." And the angel leaves. And the very next verse says, "And Mary arose in those days, went to the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah. In those days she got up, and she went to the hill country with haste to see her cousin Elizabeth." It says in verse 56, later on in this same chapter, 3 months later, she finally comes home. As far as we know, Joseph didn't know anything about what was going on with Jesus and her conceiving a child until she got back home. So it sounds like Joseph is maybe he's told one day by Mary, maybe it was from her family. They were just a spouse not living together this time. They were spouse this time. She's gone off for 3 months to be with her cousin in hill country. 3 months later, she comes home with a baby belly under her dress. That's easy for us to understand now. We know the rest of the story. But until now, Joseph didn't know anything about this until he was troubled. And he went home and he thought anything. Then the angel came to him. He didn't know anything about what was going on. Imagine your spouse's wife going on a trip and coming home expecting a child. Joseph had no part. He knew he had no part in this. Joseph had to ask Mary, what's going on here? And she would have said, "Oh, don't worry, Joseph. It's God's baby." Sure, Mary. Sure. Whatever you say. Yeah, right. Think about how the guy would respond to that. Mary has come home for 3 months on this trip, and now she's expecting a baby. And Joseph, where did this come from? I didn't do it. It's not my baby. Joseph now has some more dilemmas in his life. You know, he has a family problem and a financial problem. He has a fiancé dilemma, fiancé problem. Put yourself in his shoes for a minute. Can you imagine the emotions he's dealing with? He has not yet heard from the angel of the Lord. But now he finds out that this girl he's a spouse to, probably spouse for a long time, has arranged marriage back in those days. Now she's expecting a child, and it's not his. What a problem to be faced with. A man defined, a man with duty, a man with a dilemma. Now we find him a man of distinction. A man who knew how to rule his attitude. Matthew 1:20. Back again to Matthew. I told you I'm turning back and forth a lot. Matthew 1:20. "But while he thought on these things," and we've already read that before, he didn't run out and grab the law book and see what he could do to her. He's a student. He followed the law. He knew the law. He knew what he could do to her. Legally, he has every right to have her taken out of town and stoned to death. He can legally murder Mary by Jewish law. He doesn't just react. He rules his attitude. How much better off would we be, and our families would be, and our testimonies would be, if we learn how to think on these things before we fly off the handle? Joseph could have legally murdered his espoused wife if he was rash. He didn't slow down and think about the consequences. He had compassion. His first response to put away probably, he had compassion on this girl. As far as he knows, she's betrayed him, and here's trust. That's all he knows so far, and he was minded to have compassion on her. He didn't fly off the handle. He didn't want to see her get hurt. He didn't want her to be the one to get hurt. His heart is no doubt ripped in two. I can't imagine being in that position. Imagine what he's dealing with inside. But he doesn't let it rule him. He doesn't let it rule his attitude. Doesn't let him rule his reactions. He thinks on these things. A man of character, a man of patience. I really don't know of anyone, myself included, that would have reacted that way. I've never been put in that position. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Natalie, for that. I wish I could say I would react the same way, but I doubt it. I'd probably get mad and fly off the handle, and hopefully I wouldn't stone her, but it probably crossed my mind. He knew how to rule his attitude, how to rule his actions, how to handle his emotions. He was patient. He didn't fly off the handle. He waited on God. Mary said, "This is of God." And Joseph said, "Lord, I don't know." Of God? Are you kidding me? Baby from God. Even before he heard from God, his first reaction was compassion. A man able to rule his attitude, a man willing to accept ridicule. Verse number 19, Matthew 1:19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." Think about this for a minute. These two people are espoused to be married. They are engaged, if you will. In the Jewish culture, an espousal is just as binding as a marriage. You can't just throw away your engagement. But during this espousal period, they each lived in their respective homes separately. Each remained pure separately. They did not come together into the same home until the time of the actual marriage. But to break an espousal would mean writing a divorce. They have not been wed. They are espoused together. They have a writing contract. They would one day get married. Joseph not wanting to make her a public example was minded to put away privately. That means Joseph wanted to quietly, behind the scenes, break off this engagement, do away with it, because he didn't want her embarrassed and he didn't want her stoned. Compassion on her. But think about this. Joseph, most likely an older man from what we can find in history, the Bible doesn't say, he's espoused to Mary, this younger girl, and she's found with child. Joseph doesn't make a big scene about it. He just quietly puts her away and does it in secret so nobody else knows about it. And then Mary comes along in the neighborhood, wearing a different veil now. She's now expecting a child. What's that going to do with Joseph's reputation? He's going to be looked at like a molester. Look at like a pervert. He got his espoused wife pregnant, and now he doesn't want her anymore, so he put her away privately. After all, if it was her fault, why would he do it privately anyway? It was her fault. He wanted to have her stoned. But Joseph didn't want to do that. He didn't want to hurt her. He had compassion on her, so he's minded to put away privately. He's willing to ruin his reputation because he loves Mary. Willing to accept ridicule for her. It's going to affect him in many ways. It's going to hurt his reputation. It's going to hurt his testimony. It's going to hurt his business. He's a carpenter. Who hires a carpenter from Nazareth who did this to his espoused wife? Everything he's worked to build in his life is now, it would be gone from making this decision, but he was willing to do it because he loved Mary. As far as he knows, this is betrayal on her part. He has nothing to do with it, and he's willing to protect her just because he loves her. Willing to accept ridicule, willing to change his life for her. Willing to take the blame for what he thought was betrayal to him. Willing to take the blame for her. Can you imagine that? Your girlfriend goes, his fiance goes off on a 3-month trip into the mountains, comes back expecting a baby. You say, okay, I'll take the blame. You go on and live your life. That's what Joseph was willing to do. But God's not going to let that happen. Angel appears to him. He says, don't be afraid, Joseph. You can take her to wife. Nothing to be afraid of. She is telling the truth. It is really my son. It's okay. Thank God for that. He's a man who was willing to accept ridicule. He's a man willing to accept new responsibility from God. Verse 21, Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Joseph is given the responsibility of naming Jesus Christ. God took Joseph aside. The angel took Joseph aside. He assures him it's all going to be all right. And he gives him a job. Immediately he puts him to work in the ministry. He gives him a big responsibility from God. He names Jesus. He was the one that had to make sure that happened. His name is very important. And Joseph was entrusted with the task. Can you imagine naming the Son of God? Joseph is mature enough in his spiritual walk with God. God is willing to give him new responsibilities, even during the middle of this trial. Can God trust you with responsibilities, even in those hard times? He trusted Joseph. He was a man with dilemma. He was a man of distinction. He was a man, I don't like this word, but for alliteration, he's a man of destiny. He was destined to proclaim Christ. Matthew 1:21. Just read it again. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Joseph was destined to be the first man to have the opportunity to proclaim that Christ is here and he is here to save his people from their sins. Joseph is the first one on earth to get to say, he's here. The Savior is here. Men have been preaching, prophesying for years. Jesus would come. Joseph was given the job of being the first one to let everybody know that he could. Jesus is here. Others have spoken about it for centuries. Now he's here. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God, he's not just any little baby boy. He's God with us. He is God on earth. He is God in the form of man. He is Jesus Christ. He has come to save his sinners. He's here. He's not just my son. He's not just the son of Mary. He's not just son out of wedlock. He's the son of God, the very God with us. And Joseph is the first man to get to tell everybody else about it. Can you imagine the responsibility? Imagine the job he has. We know that Jesus' ministry is not going to begin for another 30 years. But even the shepherds got to go out and proclaim that Jesus was born. Proclaim what they were told. The angels came and told them they got to proclaim it to everybody, proclaimed to everybody what they saw. Joseph got to be the first. All this that Joseph has been through, but now he gets to be the earthly father of Jesus, destined to proclaim Christ, destined to protect Christ. Joseph was the man of God, chose to give Jesus a home to live in. Joseph is going to have the job of keeping Jesus safe and away from Herod. He's going to have to hide and then flee and then come back and provide for him. The man chosen by God to provide a life and a home and a roof and food and an opportunity in life for Jesus Christ. Not that Jesus needs help with an opportunity. Joseph was tasked with being the father to Jesus on earth. destined to protect Christ. I believe Joseph taught him a thing or two about carpentry. Imagine teaching the creator of trees about carpentry. Kind of ironic, don't you think? I believe he gave him a trade. I believe he gave him a home. Obviously, he gave him a home. According to Matthew 13:55, he gave him a family. Jesus had four brothers and some sisters. Mary is not a perpetual virgin. He had family. Joseph was destined to proclaim Christ. He was destined to protect Christ. He gave Jesus a home. What a job to do. We've seen all these good traits of Joseph. After all, I don't think God picked him for no reason. He had a good reason to pick him. Joseph was a good man. God blessed him. God used him. A good man before the birth of Jesus came along. He was patient. He was compassionate. He was caring and hardworking. He was spiritual. He was a good man of good character. And God used him. But there's one more turn of events for Joseph. There's really the whole meaning of the message here today. Joseph was a man defined. He was a man of duty. He was a man with a dilemma. He was a man of distinction. He was a man that was destined. And Joseph was a man that forgot. If we want to use alliteration, he's a man that disregarded. Turn it back to Luke chapter 2 again. Joseph has been there. He has been right. He has been right before the birth, right at the birth. He's been right proclaiming the Christ at his birth. The last we hear from Joseph is in the end of chapter 2. We have two last instances we hear from Joseph, and neither of them are very good. Luke chapter 2, verse number 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph his mother knew not of it. They supposing him to have been in the company when a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinsfolk and acquaintances. The newness of Jesus has worn off. When he was first here, oh man, it was exciting. What an exciting trip leading up to the birth, and what all he had been through before his birth and even after his birth with having to hide it from Herod and all the moving and then the gifts of the wise men coming from the east all the way to see him and the family and all those things. Exciting times in the home of Mary and Joseph. Exciting times raising Jesus. But now, Jesus is 12 years old. Over a decade has passed. A decade Joseph spent with Jesus. And now in verse 44, Luke chapter 2, they don't even know where Jesus is. Someone might come and ask them about Jesus. They could tell them all the wonderful God-filled things that have happened in their lives. Oh, where is he now? He's around here somewhere. We'll find him. You ever been like that before? Ever met anybody like that before? Been like that yourself before? Man, you were first saved. Jesus was everything. He was your life. He's what you lived for. You spent all the time you could reading your Bible and you lived for him. But now, over a decade has passed and more carnal things have slipped in and life has gotten in the way and more children have come along in the family. And Jesus is around here somewhere. What happened? Joseph forgot the importance of his task. Forgot Jesus. Christian, how's your relationship with the Lord lately? If you're not closer to God than you have ever been in your life, then you're backslidden. That's just the definition of the word. Backslidden from God. If you're not closer than you've ever been, then you're back here. That's backslidden. One more instance with Joseph here. Joseph, he started right. He's not doing so well now. 3 days later, they finally find Joseph in the temple. Verse number 49, we see his response. Jesus, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that it must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Father's business? What are you talking about? I'm your father. You ain't doing any carpentry work in here. What are you doing? They understood not what he said. Joseph has gone from being the future father of the year, if you will, to forgetting his son, to now he doesn't even understand what his son is talking about. He's not spiritually minded whatsoever. Jesus is in the temple. Jesus said he's doing his father's business. Who is his father? Come on, Joseph, it's not that hard. I know we have a lot of the instructions here, a lot easier for us to understand, but Joseph is not thinking spiritually whatsoever at this point. What happened? Joseph started right. As far as we can tell here, Joseph has forgotten Jesus. He's not as close to him as he once was. He didn't handle his task well. Now he didn't hearken to the words hearken to the words of his son. There's a reason we worship Jesus and not Joseph. Joseph was a just man. But I believe we have pretty good evidence here. Even Joseph, he started well. He didn't end on such a good note, at least not recorded. is believed by historians, and this is not in the scriptures, so it's just hearsay. It's believed that Joseph died sometime between this time, 12 years old, to Jesus turning 18 years old. That's just what history says. On the cross, we can read about Jesus telling John, the beloved, to care for his mother. His father obviously wasn't there, most likely dead. His brothers, Jesus didn't even trust them with his own mother. What happened to Joseph? What happened to his family? What's the lesson this morning? You can start right, you can still end wrong. Don't quit on God. Don't lose sight of the task you've been given. Don't give up on serving God. Yeah, you may start right. Joseph had the right character, the right attitude, the right patience. He handled himself well. He had the right testimony. Look how he ended. Look at the examples you have falling behind you. Don't quit on those. Don't get lazy on God. Our first character of Christmas might change your view of him a little bit. Man, he started out right. God chose him to raise his son. That's for sure. God used him. But what happened down towards the end of his life there? Well, from what we can read anyway, Joseph lost sight of things. Maybe it was the family. Maybe it was the job. Maybe he was busy. Maybe it was just life. Some believe that Joseph was a much older man when Jesus was born. Some say he died around 110 years old. That's Jewish history says Joseph died around that time. Again, the Bible does not say. But if that's true, and if he died when Jesus was a teenager, that would put him in his 90s when Jesus was born. He's already been through a lot. He's been through a lot. He's been through with Jesus now. And now maybe it's just his age. Maybe he's just tired. Maybe he's just letting it slip. Maybe he's just letting it slip because he's tired of living, tired of working. I don't know what happened in his mind, but we see what happened on the outside. Christian, don't quit on God. Don't get tired and forget God. Don't get so caught up with your finances and your job and your citizenship and your career and all these different things Joseph had. They were good things. Don't get so caught up in those other things, even your family, that you forget about Jesus. Joseph, a man that started right and ended not so great. How's the end of your story going to look? If you go back, go 500 years in the future and read your biography, what would the ending be? Now's your chance to make it right. Better do it right. Don't forget Jesus. Joseph, man, what a man on earth he was. He's not perfect. No man is perfect. But look what he did. Look what God chose him to do. Look what he forgot. If he can forget Jesus when he lives in the same household as Jesus, don't say you can't forget him. Okay, you don't say you can't lose sight of worshiping the Lord. He's living with him. He sees him being perfect every day of his life. Never sinned, never did anything wrong. And even he forgot Jesus. If he can do it, don't think you can't. Don't forget him. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, thank you for those that will be with us. Lord, I pray you protect us through our separate ways. Help those as they travel home. Lord, I pray you help the road conditions. And Lord, I pray you help us tonight in service. Lord, your will be done. Thank you for taking care of us today. In Jesus' name.